So we welcome in Cora Graham to fill in for Ryan Rashock today. CG, I have to ask you, as a Dolphins fan, what do you make of your team switching quarterbacks when you're one game out of the division lead behind the Bills, who have struggled in recent weeks, and you're going to a rookie with two passes into game seven when they will play the best defensive player in the league?
Yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense on paper, does it? You know what? The fan in me wants to see Tua play. Obviously, since the draft, that was all last year, was all about getting Tua into their organization. So the fan in me wants to see him play. But, you know, the part of me that looks at it and goes, well, what are you doing right now? Cause you're in the mix for the division. You're in the mix for the playoffs. You're playing well. Why do you upset the apple cart now? Unless this was always the plan. But it sounds like, you know, Brian Flores has always said this wasn't, you know, a plan wasn't up in the air. It was going to happen when it was the right time. And, the timing to me is a bit curious as this being the right time, but, you know, we're not obviously in that dressing room. We don't see what happens on the practice field anymore like you used to. So, I'm interested. I'm intrigued, but I kind of feel bad for Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do if all of a sudden he's going to be on the trade market or not. And, Corey, we had a fascinating conversation with Rick Westhead about his book, you know, Finding Murph, Joe Murphy, of course, and, you know, guy who played, got a pretty bad hit in 91, and then it slowly progressed, but he still played, you know, for another 10 years, but he, you know, he's had some impacts, you know, combination of a lot of different things, and he ended up homeless, which is, you know, he's not the first pro sports athlete, you know, or even somebody in a different walk of life who had a lot of money and then, you know, kind of went away, which is unfortunate for people. But, you know, we've, and I'm sure you've seen it in the WHL. There's lots of stories, you know, some players have taken lawsuits for the WHL and not caring for their players. Like, it seems to be something in hockey where, like, you know, playing injured is part of it, right? But playing injured and playing hurt, like Strati told us, he goes, there were times when his coaches said, no, you can't play because you're too injured, right? But there were some times when they would really kind of pressure someone into playing when they were banged up. It's really a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it, you know, and you never want to hear those stories, but you're right. You hear them kind of everywhere. And I mean, I know in my time with the Oil Kings so far, Jason, that, you know, the way that the sort of the dynamic is set up, you spend a lot of time with the trainers. So a lot of time with athletic therapist Brian Cheeseman. And I've never seen him try to pressure anybody into playing a game. I can say that. And I mean, not that you're there every minute of every day. I get that. But I've seen him, you know, before games, taping players, talking to different players about, you know, their concerns about playing and their injuries. And, you know, I always found that, and I'll just use him as an example because I see it, was always supportive of what the player wanted. I mean, obviously we tell you the coach, hey, the coach wants you to play, but if you're not good to go, I'm going to tell the coach you can't go. So I think they've done a decent job at that. But my first year doing games was, the year Jesse Pearson got in that fight and got clocked in the head, and, he had concussion issues before, and never played another game. Because of that, he retired at 20 and, joined the Oil Kings coaching staff for a little bit after that. And then I think he's out of hockey now, but it's amazing how quickly things happen for different people. And, you know, these are the guys that don't have that money to fall back on and that fame to fall back on. These are, you know, kids we're talking about, but, yeah, it's such a fine line in sports. And yeah, I've heard it for years, right? You're not hurt or you're not injured. You're hurt. You can go. And man, we watch, especially during this whole pandemic, of watching all these videos of past games, and you watch highlight reels from guys like, you know, just some of the hits they take and that were not even close to being flagged back in the day or called a penalty back in the day. So I think it's definitely changing in the right direction. I know some people won't like that because they'll see it as too soft, but I mean, we're talking about guys' health here, not just the score on the scoreboard.
Yeah, eliminating headshots, it would be hard to find a negative in that one, the direct headshots. I still think there's sometimes, you know, a guy has his head down and you deliver a clean contact, even if you don't run him over. There's, to me, that's still going to be part of the game. There's a little bit of an onus on the player, but there's the unsuspected one. There's the chicken wing. And I think hockey, like, I don't recall a lot of those last year. It seems that that's kind of going away. Now, cross checks, hits from behind into the boards is another conversation that I'd like to have for the NHL and all of hockey to eliminate. I really don't see any need to have that in the game, but it is something as we look at how sports kind of moves forward. And, you know, the Ryan Kessler story was out with, you know, the Toradol. And so they've kind of eliminated maybe headshots in the game. So now they're focusing on, you know what, the medical professionals, as Rick Westhead said, hey, you know, they're the cream of the crop. They've got a lot of the best ones here. You've got to ensure that you know, they're not prescribing stuff because in North America, anyway, we are overall in society somewhat of a pill popping, reliant at times. Just take pills for this or pills for that. And, you know, it's Western medicine that really leans on that more than other places. And I, you know, I've seen Rex Chapman and others talk about that in sports. And I'm not sure how, you know, like, I don't think there's a quick fix in that, right? Like, that's a real big issue that isn't just in sports. That's kind of in society overall.
Yeah, and you're right. I don't know if there's a quick fix for that. And it's interesting. I mean, in the last couple of years, seeing the effect of CBD and how that's helped without being a pill popping thing for injury and for rest and recuperation and stuff like that. But it still kind of has that stigma, especially, you know, up here in Canada, it's a little bit more open, but down in the States, obviously it has that stigma around it. So, I wonder where do we go from here? You know, we're starting to find out how the effects of everything is and the long-term effects of pill popping and all that stuff. But where do we go to get away from that? I mean, I think you're always going to have to need something to help, especially if you look at, I mean, when you look at the NFL, I mean, every week guys are destroyed after their game on Sunday and need a few days to recover. And, you know, a lot of that, the history has always been, you take a couple of pills, you relax and that's it. But I just think that, at least for me personally looking at it, it's not a good way to keep going forward because the reliance you build upon that or you gain from that, you know, it's so easily to fall down that slope of, well, I took a couple here, a couple there, a couple here, a couple there. And it's kind of like, well, now I need it every day. And, then you see guys like that can't get over that when they get done and it never goes away.
Corey Graham joins us. Corey, in your situation, you know, for people who don't know, of course, you had a tumor removed. Did you have to, like, what was your dealings with painkillers?
I obviously there was somewhere in the hospital. When I was recovering from surgery, they gave you morphine, which that's good stuff, but I could see how quickly you could get used to that. And I remember I took it a few times and I was like, no, I can't do it. And they're like, no, you're allowed to take it. You're allowed to take this dose. I'm like, that's fine. I worried about that, I guess, is the best way of looking at it, how quickly you can kind of get used to it. And I mean, I've been fairly lucky with this. I haven't had a ton of pain. And like when I do now, I'll take a Tylenol or an Advil but it's not like I have a prescription where I have to have a painkiller all the time or I have to every day at, 2 o'clock, I'm popping pills for pain. So I've been pretty lucky on that stretch. But I mean, I recovering from this when I was in the hospital, I knew a lot of the other patients and seeing some of the cocktails they were taking every day for pain and, even some of the, like their reactions to being not forced to take it, I shouldn't say, but prescribed it and, advised this is the way to go. And just some of, some people didn't care. They just took it because, it helps. And other people were kind of leery of it and leery mm-hmm. about how long they'd have to take it. And, like I said, I was lucky for the most part. I avoided a lot of that, which was nice. And I mean, even when I was prescribed them, I talked my way out of them. I said, look, if I need it, I will take it, but I don't need it. So let's not go down that route. And like I said, even nowadays, like there's days where I'll have like a pain that just won't seem to die down quickly enough and I'll have to take one. But even then, I'm kind of leery. I'm kind of like begrudgingly taking it, I guess.
Corey Graham joins CG. What's coming up on the show tonight?
Let's see. Mark Pasek's going to join us from the Dallas Stars. Just signed a new deal there. We're going to go check in with Miami. We're going to talk with Kevin Nagel, who's the Finns insider on Twitter, find out what's going on there. And we'll head out to Winnipeg to talk about what the Winnipeg Jets have done here so far in the offseason.
Is Pasek planning on playing forward or defense in Dallas?
I assume defense. Probably one of my first questions I'm going to ask
him
tonight.
Lighten up this year.
Yeah, he had a hat trick this year.
I know.
Couldn't say I would ever pick him to be the first Oil King that ever had a hat trick, that's for sure. But, yeah, I mean, we've traded some texts back and forth. But, yeah, I plan to ask him tonight what the plan is for him moving forward because it's a deep team, obviously, and it's not like it's a long-term deal for him. So he's got to find a home there. And I think, I'm interested to see how they're going to use him.
Corey, great stuff, man. We'll tune in at 6 o'clock. Appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Jason. Thanks.